It is time for yet another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, intrepid, I added that, and it's going to stay, reporter. Well, as my father used to say, well, what's going on out there, Ruth?
Well.
See?
We had, as there were 7 million around the country protesting, we had our own here in the northwest corner. There were four that I could see, Salisbury, Cornwall, Kent, and a new one this year in Canaan. These are the No Kings protests. The one in Salisbury was the largest with a lot of guest speakers. It's hard to guesstimate the numbers when you're on a big lawn, but I would say there were probably more than 400 people at that one. Very spirited. People were very poised to express their concerns. There was music. a trio of Joe Loy, Alice Yoakam, and Sharon Chard singing, which was adorable. Another band singing. And then the Grumbling Griffiths Children's Theater did a little vignette of The Emperor's New Clothes. So it was quite entertaining and very, as I say, very spirited. Cornwall had one. Again, it's hard to tell, but I would say around 300 people were there. And then Kent had one, and again, I just couldn't judge how many people. But oh, and Canaan, I guess, had, you know, for the first time was represented. And so, you know, we were just as the same as people around the country. The northwest corner was well represented.
Didn't you say that neither Falls Village nor Sharon had one?
Not that I'm aware of. No, but there are people from those towns at these.
It's not, remember, towns used to be 5 miles apart by ox cart, which was a day trip. Did you know that?
No.
I learned that from Leah Cadwallader, who is at the Cornwall Extension. When I came up here 30 years ago, that yes, it was five. The towns were 5 miles apart, and that was a day trip by ox cart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Earlier in the week, Treasurer Eric Russell, our state treasurer, came to Salisbury and held a conversation with, again, State Rep Maria Horn. Maria is chair of the Finance Committee in the House, so she's very well up on finances, and talked about Connecticut's in pretty good shape programs. She said Connecticut has got a good foundation of funds and hopefully can weather the storm if things like WIC and SNAP and other programs are affected. So, and Russell was quite interesting about all the programs in Connecticut. He's spoke again, he too, about Connecticut being in good shape. The state has, what did they say, balanced the budget now every, the past 7 years. The rainy day fund is going well. The it's funded the pensions for state employees, which were at a drastic level. And so it was a good, interesting talk. And again,
are there any programs for public radio?
I don't think they talked about that.
No, I'm just curious. I'm sure that most people aren't aware of the brouhaha between Corporation of Public. Most people are aware of the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, but they are not aware of the brouhaha with NPR. And I'm just curious because in a lot of in a lot of the literature that's being what should I call them, the newsletters and so forth that's being circulated, they talk about, well, people are trying to access local, you know, state programs for some of the people. The rural stations are the ones that, which we are the ones that were vastly, vastly effective in the, you know, in the giant wash. And
well, the people there, most are, we're not focused on that subject. We need people like you folks to, you know, get out and talk about that issue.
No, I mean, it's just all in the different programs that I think that a lot of people are unaware of the various programs that states have to deal with these issues. But that's just my my take on things, because really, and no disrespect to various members of the press, the things that are focused on are the scary ones. And that's why, you know, it's like, oh, they're going to cut. Somebody said something last week that was astonishing in its ill-informedness, because they were completely unaware, you know, that way back in the day, the states were responsible for certain things. And not the federal. It's like everything went up to the top, and we started relying very much on, you know, the federal aspect, when in fact there were perfectly workable and in some cases way better solutions. So I was just, you know, this isn't much my department, but I am constantly bemused by what people know and what they don't know, and I kind of lay the not knowing firmly at the, it's much easier to hear, to be terrified into, oh my God, they're going to take away my fill in the blank, than, hey, dudes, we got enough money to weather the storm, so sit back and figure out how you can help.
People are unaware of a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's not just that. Okay, Sunday, Cornwall Fire Department held an open house. It usually does. This one had a special focus. They are trying to raise money for two new trucks that need to be to replace their 25-year-old rescue truck and engine. They have amassed so much money, and they need another $600,000 to come from donations and because they've gotten grants and they have all sorts of other things, but they're working to get the additional $600,000, and they're about halfway there. They had two trucks there that they are looking at that they would like to replicate. One was the rescue truck from Sharon, a mini pumper, and the other was an engine from Falls Village, and both companies came and displayed their trucks. There was food, there was lots of goings-on, and the highlight was the arrival of Livestar. Livestar came in, landed, and people scrambled to go see it close up. We see it in the sky, so it's always interesting to see it very close up. Had a long talk with the pilot, and it's an amazing mobile hospital. It carries just about everything you need, and he gave a lot of interesting information about how much they fly and you know.
Do we only have one of those, or are there more in the state?
Well, this one is the one that basically covers this area. It's out of Meriden, and it's through Hartford Hospital. But he was very interesting explaining that, like mutual aid for fire departments, they have mutual aid for Livestars. I guess they have different names, but...
Medical helicopter, emergency
airlifts, and
right.
So they deal with Albany, Boston, Worcester. If they're out, they can call on them if need be, and they can come in. And then they're even widening the he said there's a Northeast Air Alliance or something, and it could go out even further. They're going out into Vermont, New Hampshire. I mean, it's really amazing.
How are they funded?
I assume through the hospitals that are running this. I mean, he said we're part of Hartford Healthcare. I would assume that they get money, if possible, from users. There must be donations, and I wouldn't be surprised if the state puts in some money for this. I'm not sure. I can't say for sure. But they are basically through hospitals. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure they bill out and insurance must pay a part because it costs a lot of money to move one of those
things. Oh, my gosh. Just lifting it off the ground, I can imagine.
I know. Yeah. It's just when you see the cost of moving that from point A to point B, it's like, wow.
Yeah. They have 3 crew members, a therapist, a pilot, and a nurse, and they have everything they need on board. It really is. He said it, we're like an ER and an ICU. You know, up in the air. As I say, people were flocking to get a close-up look. And unfortunately, they had a call, so they had to cut short their visit. So we watched them come in, and we watched them go out. But very interesting, and a nice program. I mean, the kids had loads of questions, and they were there to answer them very nicely.
Yeah, me too. I wish I'd have been there. I'd like to know how they dampen the sound from outside. You know how helicopters are extremely noisy, and I'm sure you don't want that in what they're doing.
Yeah.
Be curious to see the insulation. I'll have to do some internet studying instead.
Yeah, and they were there last year, so they may come back next year.
Okay,
so
I was going to say, if you know when they're coming, give me a shout.
Yes.
I'd love to go see that.
It's open house. They could usually do it this time of year, and loads of people wanting to see it. It's very, and of course, there's all the scientific stuff about, you know, what makes it run and all that. But interesting.
That's like the question of dampening the sound, and it'd be interesting to see how that structure works. Like we have the volunteer fire and ambulance here with, like you were discussing, they're overlapping one another when there's multiple events.
Mutual aid.
And I'd be interested to see the structure that commands that for such a thing as LifeStar, because I assume if you had some big traumatic thing like on a parkway or something, and let's not say we're advocating this happen, but a whole bunch of people get injured, you'd have to have more than one of those.
Right.
That falls into a totally different once something's a mass casualty event, that is almost a different I don't want to say department, but a protocol, different protocol.
Well, I am sure it is very well programmed out and orchestrated.
It's always interesting to know how that comes together, though.
Because
a lot of reaction there is on the spot. You don't have a lot of time to think about things.
Well, it was interesting because I was talking to Bobby Carberry, the fire chief, and Sharon. And he said, LifeStar, we just had to call him out last week, unfortunately, for that accident.
Right.
And they actually landed in the backyard of that house.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible.
You want to talk about history for 1 second. This goes back to, I'm sure everyone, not everyone, but people of a certain generation used to watch this thing called MASH. It always started with helicopters because that's how you brought the people in.
They were in a war zone, though.
But you're right, Mike, about the noise. I mean, you watch it come in, and it's you got to stay far enough away, of course, because of the
rotors.
Right.
But the noise is amazing. But the way they just set it down is choreographed beautifully.
And imagine that thing is quite big in person. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, and they fit a lot in there. It's amazing. So I'm looking ahead. There's kinds of meetings and things. I did, unfortunately, have to miss the run and walk for the Little Guild because it was the same time as all these protests. So usually that's a really fun time when people are running with their dogs for the...
And that's one of their big fundraisers, isn't it?
Yeah. And I did, going to the Cornwall thing on Sunday, I did pass the new facility that's going up. If you go by there, it's quite impressive. I mean, it's a long ways to go, but it's still going to be very, I think, state-of-the-art.
We got Halloween coming up.
Yeah, we do have Halloween, and we have the Cornwall Library is doing a thing on Friday at 5, I think it is, about journalism. They're going to have several journalists there talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To talk
did you get that?
I've seen the thing on it. Yeah, they're having these journalists, three journalists
come in.
And
we're going to speak.
And it's kind of a thing to get from their perspective how they consider news stories and what they consider is news or not news.
Mm-hmm.
And how you might learn how to discern what is fake and what is real, because in today's world, that's getting real difficult.
It's
actually going back to what I mentioned earlier. It seems like a real good idea to educate oneself up on that topic. When is that? Do you know, Ruth?
It's Friday at 5, Mike, I believe.
I believe so.
Okay. Cornwall Library. Check it out. It's Cornwall Library, and it's Friday, and I think it's 5 o'clock.
But it's the 24th.
Hmm?
It's the 24th of October.
Yeah.
As long
Friday.
As that's Friday. Yep.
Yep.
It
yep.
sure
yep.
is.
And yes,
I just wanted to make sure it was which week we were talking about.
No, it's not. It's on Saturday the 25th.
There you go.
Really?
And they're having it
at
the Cornwall Consolidated School as well.
You're absolutely right. I did see that. Because of the huge sign-up, they've moved it to the school.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So it'll be Saturday.
And it's Saturday.
Saturday,
I messed that up.
5 p.m. on October 25th. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're there to check me. I thought it was Friday.
Don't
so
worry.
Good.
That's all right. We had the time right.
We cross-check all the time because sometimes,
the things themselves are not right.
And sometimes the notices I get to ask for, a little bit of airtime for public service are 3 pages long, and I have to try and figure out, well, how do I make that into, like,
time,
a minute
place,
or less?
Date, subject.
And the number, this is just as the person who constantly is baffled by this, put the time, put the date, put the location, and put the subject. Make that the first part.
Contact, website, yeah, registration.
Oh, we go to, I can't
I,
tell you when you get three pages of a brief.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because they put it all in, paragraph 34. You know, it's there, but
there you go.
No one's going.
Well, I try and cross-reference. I even cross-reference if the website address is correct, because I have found at times there's typos and things. And,
good for you.
Some people aren't familiar with the websites, and they punch it in, and they end up at a 404 whatever it is.
404 looks, not available.
Daunting and evil.
Gateway left.
Like it's coming from the dark web.
And this has been it's been staggering. As people migrated, not necessarily well, to, simply their desktop, doing this all, by email, they stopped being able to visualize a sign, what should be on a sign, and they stopped putting the key pieces of information that are needed to promote an event.
And
it is now so rife. It is so rampant.
Today's lesson in how to write a public service announcement for all of you out there.
Oh, we've had those, and the paper's given some lessons, and we still get it. Three pages of
what?
The history of the person and the history of what they're
all
talking about.
It's just that nobody...
Who, what, where, when, and why. That's it.
Yep. Yeah. The one I love the most that they send to us here at the radio station is the poster. The poster has the minimal amount of information, and sometimes you can read it, sometimes not, because, the backgrounds and things all, and it goes to what Jill's saying about the signs, these little signs along the road that all the politicians have been using for years, and it's got, 3 pages worth of stuff on it.
Yeah.
And you're driving by going, I wonder what's going on there.
That used to make Dave Teeter nuts.
It makes me crazy when I see it, too.
This goes back away, but it's truly... When you design something, I will tell you this. A pretty renowned person was the one who cracked the case for me, because he said, yes, everything is being designed on, and then he told me, and this was years ago, and of course I paid no attention.
And now it's all going to be designed by AI, so.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It is already. So we have Halloween coming up, so there'll be a lot of events all over. I will mention that there's some early ones happening, too. They're all starting up in the course of this week.
And also, Center School on Friday.
Yeah, and I know the Wasaic Project over in Wasaic is having one on the 24th,
and
26th.
Their Monsters Ball, which they have done for years.
Three days there. They have the Haunted Mill and the Monsters Ball.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you have that. And a lot of trunk or treats, which has been been around for a while now, actually.
I guess it's really catching on.
Yeah, well, it gives people the opportunity to take the kids trick-or-treating and not have to go running all over town because, you know, sometimes what if you're trick-or-treating in Cornwall? Let's walk to this house.
Many people come.
They never did. As someone who lives on Music Mountain, they never came up here.
Right. Yeah.
Come to our house where we get 400 kids.
Oh,
right.
There you go.
Exactly.
400, huh?
Yep. They come. We're in the center of town.
There you go.
They all congregate.
That's what happens. Because I know Lakeville, Salisbury, they usually close off the center of Lakeville, on the side streets, and then have somebody out directing traffic so they can go.
Same in Caden.
Do their thing there. Back in our days, when we went trick-or-treating, my parents just drove us down into Lakeville, dumped us, and came back an hour later to see what we had.
And there's also, Kent does a... what do they call dancing thing and a big thing on the green usually.
Oh, they also, is Kent still doing the pumpkin run or have they stopped?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Pumpkin run is this weekend. Yep. Sunday.
So it's about two weekends worth of Halloween stuff because Halloween is the last day of October, which is not this Friday, but the following Friday.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot of stuff, scary movies and things. Look at your libraries, your various, sites where you pick up information. I hate to say this, Facebook, but, you'll find out where all the activities are.
Well, the activities have become like...
It's amazing how never mind. I'm not even going to go there. But what I will say is, what about early voting?
Early voting started yesterday, and people can vote up till I think November 2nd, and then
it's quote election day. Thank you as always for your wonderful rambling, roving, and wandering, and intrepidness. And we will talk to you next time.
Okay.
This has been Ruth Epstein on Robin Hood Radio.